Ms. Ruby Mickle's birthday will be celebrated not on the third Sunday, but on the third Saturday. It is April the 17th, and it is at 2 p.m. We ask that you all would come by, drive by, give her a card, wave at her, but wish her a happy birthday because she will be turning 100 years old. What a blessing. What a blessing. Amen. I'm about three-fourths of the way, girl. I'm not even two-thirds of the way. And I'm already getting tired in my knees. And Arthur and all the other brothers are coming to me. But nevertheless, we want to celebrate with her. That'll be on the third Saturday, April the 17th at 2 p.m. Miss Ruby Mickles will be celebrating her 100th birthday. Come out and greet her at 2 p.m. Bring a card. Just let her know that you're rooting for her and being a blessing to her as she celebrates her birthday. Amen? Well, turn in your Bibles or dial into your iPad or whatever other electronic device you have to get the word. Just get the word. And turn into Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. We're celebrating the resurrection, but we're also celebrating our resurrection. Hear what it says in Colossians 3, and verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Before you take your seat, look at somebody. Don't touch them. Just look at them and say, if you can look up, you can get up. Now, if you're beside a family member, you can go and touch them. It doesn't matter. Look at them again and tell them, if you can look up, you can get up. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for blessing us to be in this place, this holy house that you've consecrated for your glory. We ask that you'd visit us now. Bless those that are listening in the parking lot, online, and later on the radio waves. We pray that your word would go out. Not the thoughts and ideologies of man, but your powerful word that is able to convert us, save us, and bring us into your glorious presence in heaven. Bless us now in our time together that it indeed may be time well spent. We love you and we thank you, for it's in the precious name of Jesus that we ask it all. Amen. If you can look up, you can get up. Those words I heard first from Les Brown, a motivational speaker. And what he was saying in his conversation, in his delivery, is that there are times in life where you will get knocked down. Some of you have experienced that. There are times in life where you will go through struggles that will cause you to fall. But then Les Brown said that if you can look up, you can get up. Now, I don't know whether he was referring to this verse, but I am. Because I know that sometimes when life hits you, it hits you so hard that you cannot get up on your own. It's like the story of Humpty Dumpty. He sat on the wall, had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put him back together again. There are times when life will strike you to the point that you cannot get up and you need help. And the only one that can get you up is God Almighty. And I want to share with you today that God gives you that power that no matter what circumstance you're going through, you can get up. The Bible says we have been risen with Christ. Say that with me. We have been risen with Christ. It's not going to happen. It has happened, past tense. And the verse reads in the King James, if you have been risen, but then that verse is not on the condition, but on the reality. It says, really, since you have been risen, not a condition. You had nothing to do with that. When you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, You have now been risen with him. How many of you know that possessing something will also cause you to have an effect from what you possess? How many of you know that? We used to, growing up, we used to play with this stuff called poison ivy. How many of y'all remember that? And while you're playing with it, it doesn't impact you. But later on, you're going to feel the effects. There is an effect that has happened. And what Paul is telling us now, as you celebrate the resurrection, don't celebrate it as something that happened in history. Celebrate it as a present reality. Since you and I have been risen with Christ, when you are risen with Christ, that means what he possessed, you now possess. What he had, you now have. The Shekinah and the glory of God that was shed upon Jesus is now in you. It's now in me. And we ought to get excited. We ought to get so excited, more excited than I was when I used to eat my mama's rice pudding. I'm telling you the truth. That's how excited you ought to be. You ought to be excited about the resurrection. Something that you possess, something good that you now possess, you can now demonstrate. It motivates us to demonstrate that we have this resurrection power. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God Almighty. And then it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now this challenges us. It challenges us. How many of you ever had a challenge? Had some challenges in your life? Some of you facing some health challenges. Some of us facing just plain old getting old challenges. All right, but that's another point, Brother Boland, right? We will face these challenges, but this verse challenges us in two ways. One, it challenges us by way of association. Notice it says, risen with Christ. There's that word, with. When Jesus got up from the grave, now you can say, this means something to me. I too am risen with Christ. So we have this association. We have this association. Some of us put it this way. He walks with me. He talks with me. And it's not so much of him walking with you, but you walking with him. So we have to think about this new association in a new way. You know, when you used to hang out with certain friends, you would do certain things. This is friend day, right? And you had crazy friends. Amen? And so when crazy friends act crazy, you start acting crazy. Are y'all still in the house? And then you had serious friends, ones who were boring. When they started being serious, then you also said, well, maybe I need to straighten up. I want to tell you something now. Reverend Gibbons already alluded to it. You have a friend in Jesus. Amen. By way of association, you didn't befriend him. He befriended you. And guess what? This ain't Facebook. You can't unfriend him. You can't disconnect from him. Because he is your life, he is your everything. He is your God and he loves you. So this association that Paul says we now have with Christ, it is a new relationship, a new relationship. And guess what? Because you became friends with Christ, now whoever Jesus' friends are, they're your friends. As a matter of fact, God Almighty is your friend because you have a friend in Jesus. The association with Jesus Christ has now placed us in some heavenly places. Man, think about that. Think about that. Think about the friends you wish you had. Man, I wish I was friends with a millionaire, but I'm not. Well, really you are. Because Jesus owns it all. Everything in this world that you can see, if you would go out and look into outer space, he owns that also. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. I can look at your thoughts right out of that little bubble on top of your head right now, saying, well, why doesn't he give me everything? You don't need it right now. How about that? But we are his friends through association. Paul says that we have been raised with Christ. But then the second challenge that we have, and the challenge in the association is, how should I now conduct my life if I'm associated with Jesus? What's going to be my walk? How is my conversation in this world? How am I to demonstrate that I now am walking with Christ? My advice to you, just watch him. Just watch him. Whatever he does, you do. If he loves, you love. If he forgives, you forgive. If he reaches out to people, you reach out. As a matter of fact, he now says, since you're in the world, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tap you on the shoulder, and what I would do, I'm going to get you to do. I see some of y'all backing up from now. Hold up, preacher. I didn't say you could do it on your own strength. Later on in Philippians, we read, I can do all things through who? Christ. Amen. That's your friend. Remember, that's your friend, right? And now, through your association with him, you can accomplish some amazing things. The problem that a lot of people have is that they want to live life on their own. And then they want God to bless them when they need a blessing. If you get associated with him, good things are going to flow through your life anyway, because you're connected with Christ. But there's another challenge. There's another challenge that we have to see in this verse. Second challenge that we have, not only are we risen with Christ, but now we have a challenge of what we call the affection or the application of our heart. Here's the challenge. Since you have been risen with Christ, set your affection, listen to what I'm saying, set your affection where? On things above, where Christ sits. Now, when I read that verse, instantly I realized, Lord, I got too much stuff on this earth that's weighing me down. How many of y'all ever feel that? Stuff just weighing you down. You know, and it's hard to set your heart and your mind on heaven when you're living in a world that's all messed up. You got to dodge this and you got to duck that. And even you're just trying to drive to work and people on the expressway cussing you out. You got a lot of things going on in this world. So is he saying that you should not pay attention to the things of this world? No, he's not saying that. He's saying set your affection, set your mind on things above. Here's the way Dr. David Jeremiah put it. He said that Christians living on the earth should have a focus on heaven, because that's where you're going to spend most of your time. Did y'all hear that? So in other words, you're in this world, but you're not in this world to stay. And watch this. The things that you go through in this world are all designed by God to help you to become stronger in him, not to break you down. There's not a thing that you and I can face that can destroy us when we're dependent on God. It may take away things from you. It may cause you to have pain and struggle. But if the world did not give you salvation, it can't take it away. Are y'all still in the house? I wish y'all would just let me know up here, because when you recognize that you are raised with Christ, it changes your focus. So the challenge is, Lord, don't let me get to fall in love with all the stuff in the world. Don't let me get so hung up on the things in this world, even the things that I hate. Don't let me get hung up on, I hate this world, that I can't see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Set your affection on things above. Let me give you an illustration. If a day of trial should come your way, which it has, how many of y'all had days of trial? Folks on your job plucked your last nerve, and then another one on top of that. And when those days come, you now have a choice. You can go to bed at night angry, upset, and go, ooh, I can't wait till tomorrow comes. I'm going to get them back. Or you can say, Lord, I'm looking up. I'm looking up. I'm not putting my mind, I'm not putting my heart on the bad things of this world. I'm setting my affection on things that are above where Christ sits. And when you do that, you free your mind. You can go to bed and sleep instead of tossing and turning all night. I can't believe that did to me. Let me see what I'm going to do. Rather than plotting to get someone back, you're plotting to get the glory. Amen. Are y'all still here? Now, I'm going to deal with a couple of things. Here's a little checkup. Write these things down. Here's a little resurrection reality checkup. Can we do that? So this is a resurrection reality checkup, a RRCU, okay? First, are you risen with Christ? Are you risen with him? And if you say yes to that, you automatically need to go to the next question. Is your heart set on things above? If it's not, then you need to go back up to the top, to the first question. Are you risen? How many of y'all get something here? All right, and then the third question, if you can say, yes, I'm risen with Christ, yes, my heart is set on things above, then you have to answer the third question, is your mind free from things of this world? That's your resurrection reality checkup. Want to hear it again? Wave your hand if you want. Oh, y'all saying I'm bored. I want to hurry up and get out of here. You got some coffee and donuts in the parking lot. I'm here. Let me read it again. Are you risen with Christ? If you can say yes, go to the next question. Second question, is your heart set on things above? If you can say yes, go to the next question. If the next question is your mind free from things of this world? And I want to tell you, that third one nailed me. That third one got me. Because yes, I want to set my affection on things above. That's what I would really want to do. But I get hung up on the stuff of this life. What we might call, as Chuck Swindoll said, the daily grind. Lord, I would be heavenly minded if I didn't have to worry about these things down here. You got to pay bills. And then next month, you got to pay the same folk that you paid last month. I'm tired of paying them. And then you start the cycle all over. It's almost like you're working for somebody else, right? But that's not the case. This life is not all about making money. It's about God making you into the image and likeness of his son. You know, all money is a transaction that takes place, and then they give it to you, you give it to somebody else. You start the cycle all over. If you get your mind set on that stuff, you're going to go around like, I can't stand this. Who is FICA? Like a little kid, they got their first check, and they said, who is FICA? But when you're serving God, and when you're in Christ, and he's carrying you through this life, you don't look at it as a cycle. You start saying to yourself, I know where I'm going one of these old days. I know I'm going to meet my Redeemer, and praise God, we're going to be in heaven. But right now, it's the daily grind that kind of gets us. Let's deal with that. Let's talk about some of the things that are obstacles to looking up. What is it? Rather than you looking up, you're looking at the things of this world. So let's look at a couple of obstacles. Paul brings us up in chapter 2 when he talks about the obstacles that we face. Not only are we facing the challenges, but our obstacles, he brings up in Colossians 2, chapter 2 and verse 8. He said, first of all, we face the philosophy and vain deceit. The philosophies of men and vain deceit. I was looking up in the commentary of Adam Clark, and he calls these things as the worldly or sophisticated arguments of this world. Anyone who follows them, they will stumble over life itself because they're looking at speculations rather than at Christ. Clark goes on to describe the person that is caught up in this mindset are those that, because someone can come with a good argument, trying to explain God or explain away God, Let me tell you something, child of God. You'll never understand his doings, but you can trust him. You will never know how God made the universe, but you can trust that he made it. Number one is the evidence that it's here. Somebody made it. Amen. And it couldn't have been anybody because anybody didn't have that much power. So it must have been somebody, and his name was God because he had all power. Are y'all in the house? I don't have to understand the universe. I just have to know that God made all things. He made the heavens and earth. Can I prove it? No, but the reality is it is. And so if it is, somebody had to do it. And his name is God Almighty. So when you look at these philosophies and you look at, how many of y'all look at the History Channel or a Science Channel and you look at all this crazy stuff and they said billions of years ago. You know what our Bible says? In the beginning. I don't have to go back billions of years because I wasn't there. And if I wasn't there, I don't have to explain it. All I have to do is now act like I know God right now. It doesn't mean I'm anti-knowledge, but I'm anti-speculation. And that's what Adam Clark was saying. Don't go by speculations. Go by what you know. And if you know God, that's all you need to know. Don't touch anybody unless they're your relative. If they're your relative, you can touch them. But everybody else, you wave at them and say, but I know God. So he's challenging us. First of all, he's saying that the philosophies of this world, they can cause you to become distracted. As you go and you learn things in life, you learn how people believe this and people do that. If that shoe comes your way, first of all, you ain't Cinderella. You don't need to try it on. It probably won't fit anyway. Your foot too big. All right? You need to keep on your gospel shoes, all right? You need to put on what God has given you. I remember I talked with a gentleman when I first got saved. He said, did you not know that the first 11 chapters of the Bible disagree? I said, well, I don't know who it disagrees with. It agrees with me fine. I said, because in the beginning, God, that's all I need to realize. How he did the rest of it ain't none of my business. I'll find out when I get to glory. But one thing I know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I said, that's really all I need to know. I don't have to figure out how he did this and how he did that. All I know is God Almighty saved my soul. Thank God for that. Amen in Jesus' name. How's that? So the philosophy in vain deceit, notice the word vain deceit, empty deceit, things that will creep into your mind. And it's vanity. Telling you, oh, you can be this. And you can do that. It's kind of like the UK lottery. We're going to send you $1 million. You just need to pay some kind of fee to get it here. And all they want is your information, that little money that you can give. Now they got your bank account. Now you wonder, where did my money go? The UK lottery. Some of y'all, okay, that's bad comedy. I know some of y'all probably fell victim to it. You want a new car. One thing I learned in life, nothing in this world is free. Everything you're going to have to pay for, except when it comes to salvation. Your salvation is free. Or as they say on the TurboTax commercial, free, 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 free. So the Apostle Paul argues that vain philosophies and vain deceit will keep you from knowing God. Then he mentions also the traditions of men. Now, if you were Jewish, they had hundreds of traditions, things that they would do, things that they would practice, but not one of them would bring a person closer to God. They were simply the traditions of men. Now, we got practices, we got things around this church that we do. We just simply cause, well, it worked, and since it worked, we'll keep on doing it until it doesn't work anymore, then we'll think about something else. But they're traditions. We don't say anywhere in our bylaws or any other kind of laws we have, these things will get you into heaven. No, 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 we ain't crazy. We do it because it has worked, it has helped us to organize things, and that's all it is. So do you need some traditions? Yes. But traditions, if not taken with caution, can cause you to lose out and to cause you from not looking up. For instance, If I'm having a crisis in my life, I know that tradition can't save me. But what I'm going to do if life has knocked me down, I'm going to look up. And if I can look up, I can do what? Yeah. All right, talk back to me up in here. Give the Lord a hand clap. So Paul argues that the traditions of men will not save us, but he tells us that when we look up, we discover, as Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, he delivered us from darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Because we believe in him, we know that we have a Savior who is above, and he beckons us to come unto him and to believe and trust in him no matter what we go through in life. This risen Christ is now inside of you, directing you, giving you hope and promising you that it's going to work out. How many of y'all know that today? Paul mentions the third thing, the rudiments of this world, or what we might call worldly thinking, the appeal of this world. And you may ask, well, what is all this about? 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 calls it the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These basic things of the world. People say, ooh, if I could get that, or if I just had a new car, or if I had the car that they got, or if I got the clothes that they got, the money that they got. You don't want their stuff. You do not want their stuff, because their stuff gonna give you more problems than it's giving them. Are y'all still here? But when you get Christ in your heart, when you start believing on him and set your affection on things above, whatever God gives to you, it is yours. You don't have to worry about it, because the Lord sends it and God provides it to meet your need. Guess what? If you got everything in the world, it can only be used temporarily. It's not a permanent solution. So the Bible asks I believe the book of Mark says, what shall it gain you if you have the whole world and lose your soul? What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? You've got to be at a place where you now recognize that these things of the world, though I need some of them to get by, that's all I need, and I'm satisfied. When you get to the place where you're satisfied, then you'll start saying, I'm going to look up, because my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. Let me hurry up and close this argument. If you then, say that with me, if you are risen with Christ, seek those things that are above. That's what we're going to do today, amen? Because we got the resurrection power of Jesus inside of us. Another way of putting it is you're all set. All set. I remember going to the store the other day, Reverend Ray, and I asked them to fix something for me, an electronic device that I neither understand. I had to ask my grandson when I first got the phone, how in the world do you use this? And he showed me all kind of gadgets and stuff they had. All I wanted to do was pick up the phone, make a call. I didn't want to go on Google. I didn't want to have all these apps. All I needed was to simply make a call. But when I had a problem with it, I took it to the person that knew all about it, and they said to me, you're all set. God says to you and to me as we go through this life, you're all set. Why? Because you and I have resurrection power in us. Whatever knocks you down, you can now get back up and say, you know what, I can face it, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I refuse to believe that I'm a loser, because God made me a winner when he raised me with Christ. They thought Jesus was a loser when he was on the cross, but that was Friday. They thought Jesus had lost everything. His movement, his Galilean movement, his inspiration. They said, oh, Jesus, now, if you be the Son of God, come on down and save yourself, and we'll believe in you. But that was Friday. They kept talking on Friday as if they were in control. But they didn't know that Sunday was on its way. They didn't realize that Sunday, amen, would be the day that Jesus would conquer the grave, conquer the devil, conquer hell itself, and raise himself up. But then he said to those that believe on him, he said, come with me. We're getting out of here. Many of the dead got up from the grave, according to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 52. They got up from the grave. But then we who were alive and remain, guess what? We got up from our sin. We got up from our old habit. We got up from our old way of living, because if Christ is risen, guess who got up with him? Look at somebody and say, I got up with him. I was down, but now I'm back up. Life had taken me down, but I'm back up. The devil had tried to put a hold on me. You know how it is when you watch wrestling. I don't know some of y'all. I don't watch it anymore because a lot of it is just crazy stuff. But I remember when the person was down on the mat and all the referee had to do was hit the mat three times. He'd hit the mat one time and two times. How many of y'all had your favorite wrestler? And you said, man, I hope he'll get that shoulder up before that third count. Are y'all still here? The devil had you pinned. He had you knocked down. He had his foot on you. But then something got a hold of you. The power of God Almighty got a hold of you. Not only did you not stay down for the three count, you got up with the one count because Jesus had his time now. We have his resurrection power within our lives. Paul says we need to do two things in this. One, set your mind on things above. Quit worrying about what you don't have, because what you do have will do until God gives you some more. Are y'all still here? But because you got resurrection power, whatever you don't have cannot keep you from becoming what God wants you to be, because the Lord has his hands on your life. Are you with me? I'm so glad of all the things that I know God has his hands on my life. I don't have a whole lot of money. I don't have a whole lot of possessions, but I got Jesus, and that's enough. He brought me this far. Can I preach to you? He brought me this far. Come through heartache and trials and all kinds of situations. Lost loved ones on the way, but I kept on walking, kept on believing, because I knew that it might be Friday in my life, but Sunday morning is on its way. You can get up. You can get up. If you can look up, you can get up. And every time I look up, I see Jesus calling me, telling me everything is going to be all right. Do you believe it, child of God? What is it that the devil is trying to hold you down with? You tell the devil, I'm going to call on him. And if I call on him, he's going to hear my cry. Set your mind. Set your mind. I got to get out of here. Set your mind. I got to take my second Corona shot. Set your mind on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm about to go. Hebrews chapter 12. I told you that 10 minutes ago. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. In other words, he looked at shame and said, no, you ain't getting at me. He looked at the shame and said, no, you can't stop me, because I got my eye on the prize. And Jesus telling you, get your mind on things above, where Christ sits. Don't let your mind get messed up with the things of this world. This world is fading away, but Christ endures forever. And then he says to us in Colossians 3 and verse 2, not only set your mind on things above, but think like Jesus. He says that seek those things which are above, where Christ sits, and not on things on the earth. In other words, if you change your mind, if you start thinking like Jesus, he said, preacher, I can't do that. Let me give you a secret. Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he said, preacher, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. It says let. It didn't say make. Let. In other words, the power of Holy Spirit will come into your mind and your heart and will transform your thinking. If the devil can change your mind, don't you think God can? Huh? You gonna give more credit to the devil than you do God? Come on now. The devil ain't that strong. He's not all powerful. But God is all powerful. And all Jesus said, all you have to do is let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden it happens. It happens. It happens as you pray. It happens as you begin to focus on Bible reading, the thoughts that God has will become your thoughts. His ways will become your ways. I want to tell you this sad story in my life. I used to try to drink. You notice I said try to drink. But every time I try to drink, we win. And this is what I call Reverend Coleman's most embarrassing moments. And it's going out over the airways, so it can't be taken back. I've been doing some drinking. And I used to always dress up in three-piece suit like I got today. I take the robe off. I used to dress up in three-piece suit. I was in this pool hall. And Reverend Craft, as I was in that pool hall, I've been drinking a little bit too much, sitting on this little stool that you have in that pool hall. You know, you getting ready to play pool, and you know, anyway, I started rocking. Next thing I know, I heard this thump. So I opened my eyes to see what was the source of this thump. And I noticed that people were walking upside down. I said, why are people walking upside down? And then I looked around and I realized, wait a minute, I'm falling flat on my back in a three-piece suit in a pool hall. Everybody looking down at me, you all right? You all right? And I said, no, I ain't all right. I'm flat on my back. I was so embarrassed by that moment, partly because I was wearing a three-piece suit. Now, if I was wearing an old cloth, I wouldn't have cared. Like Henry Gibson, I was all dressed up, no place to go. But something that night spoke to me. Is this the way you want to live your life? Go to work all week, get some money, go by the ABC store or whatever joint and then buy something to drink and then you get drunk and fall flat on your back. Is this the way that you want to live your life? And it bothered me. It bothered me because I knew that that was not what life was all about. So I asked the question that day, can I get up? And if I can get up, I'll be all right. How many of y'all ever been there? Had those embarrassing moments. And it wasn't until I got to South Korea that I learned, Reverend Givens, I could get up. Not by myself. But I learned if you could look up to Jesus, he would lift you up. Not only did Jesus have to get me up from embarrassing moments, he raised me so that I wouldn't have to fall. What a blessing that is. People look up and they say, oh, Reverend Coleman, you're such a good man. You don't know the booger head I was. You don't know what material God had to work with. But if he can make a man out of dirt, he can do anything. And I'm here to tell you that all the glory belongs to him. And now when life happens to me, all I got to do is look up. And if you can look up, last time, you can what? Get up. Everybody stand today. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. We want to give the invitation today. It's been a wonderful time. We thank you for coming for our Friends Day, for our Easter celebration. And I'll tell you what, we ain't had this crowd in a long time. It's good to see you all. It's just good to see you all. Amen. As we get ready to close, the ushers are going to direct you out.